morning. We'll let the kids go on out, but I am praying this morning. But before I do, I just wanted to share a verse from Psalm 46, I think it is, because I made the mistake of reading a whole long article about the economy, and that was kind of depressing. And there's a lot of things in the world that are difficult right now. So I was just reminded of the verse in Psalm 46, the first two verses, actually, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. So if you would join me in prayer, please. Lord, we thank you that you are our hope and our refuge. I know there's a lot of things going on right now. I mean, I think there's probably always a lot of things going on, but it feels maybe bigger right now, but that you would continue to remind us that you are in control, that there's nothing happening that you don't know about, and that you will sustain us through it all. I pray that you would speak to us this morning through the message, and just that you would encourage us to turn to you and to trust you no matter what happens. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Edna. Yark, could you come up? If you've been with us now for a few years, then you already know Yark and Ivona Pietchak. But if you've only joined us within the last few years, this will be your first time to meet them. And you all know, each of us have our gift from God. And no one gift is more important. All the gifts are important. And I have had the grace from God and the gifting to take the gospel across political borders, across boundaries, and be in other countries. Not everyone has that grace, but that's a gift that I have. And I realized from time to time when I would come back to the U.S. to visit and interact with different churches, it was really on my heart to make sure that they understood, look, we're all a part, just as the video we just saw about Operation Christmas Child, we all play a part. We're all on the same team. We all play a role. Not all of us have the grace and the gifting to pack up and go to another country and serve the Lord there, but whether it's through intercessory prayer, whether it's through giving financially, just moral support, a pat on the back, a hug, we each of us play or have an opportunity to play a role in what God is doing all over this world. And so that's why I'm excited for the opportunity that Yarek has to come. I think he's going to get his wife up here eventually too. And not now, but I think in a few minutes. So just a word about our relationship with Yarek and Ivona. I know they would say, and they have said, that for Joan and me and our kids to go to Poland, that it was a gift for them, and it was a gift for the Polish people because of what God was doing through us, and that is true. But so very much, they were and are a gift to us. And I just want to just say a word to you parents. God has given you your children, and God has used and wants to continue to use you in their lives. You are so integral to what he's doing in the lives of your children, but you aren't the whole package. You are a member of the body of Christ, and he has other people. He's going to bring other people into the lives of your children to augment and support what God is doing through you. And when I think of my family and our children, I think of Lynn in particular, our youngest, who was in the first grade, I think, when she joined the Christian school. And a lot of wonderful spiritual things were built into her life. And she's going on for the Lord today at age 24, 25, largely through, humanly speaking, through Ivona and Yarek and their hearts and what they built into her in the Christian school. So we'll be eternally grateful to you all for that. And we are grateful as well for how God continues to use you all. So please welcome Yarek, and he's going to share a word from the scriptures, but also then talk about how God is working through his ministry, and you'll have an opportunity. Oh, I just want to, sorry, get a little long-winded. Me? No. But it's important to interject this little piece, and that is, our church is monthly supporting Yarek and Ivona financially. So you are already, if you give anything, we don't really pass a basket anymore, but online you can give, and there's a box in the back. If you give, then you're already supporting them in some measure, but you'll have an opportunity in addition to that to perhaps consider saying, okay, monthly I want to give a certain amount for the ongoing support of what God is doing through them, and they'll help you understand how you can do that, and we hope you'll prayerfully consider that. So without any more yakking, I'm going to step aside. Welcome.
Thank you, Jack, for this warm words. Yes. Thank you for reminding me that I have something here. Okay, so I would like to share with you some thoughts I believe Lord put on my heart today in the morning. So let's go together to the passage, to the Gospel of Mark, and chapter 8 and verses from 27. Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, "Who do men say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." Then he charged them that they should tell no one about him. And then, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And when he had called the people to him with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he will, and the gospel's, he will save it. For what will it prove a man? For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in the adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And the verse first of chapter 9. "And he said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power.'" This is one of my favorite Bible verses that says that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and on this revelation God will build the church, that gates of hell will not prevail. So when I read this passage, I see like Christ is leading his disciples through some thoughts, through some ideas, starting from this point when he really reveals himself. You know, when we read the Gospel of Matthew, we see that the same passage in the 16th chapter, verse 16, when Peter says, "You are the Son of the living God." we see that this point, this moment when Peter is saying this revelation that he has received just for a while, for a moment earlier from Father, is one of these climax of Matthew Gospel. All these verses, the passages earlier, are talking about Christ who is victorious, he is healing people, he is rising up from the dead. And then is this one moment when first disciple received this revelation that he is the Son of God. And when we start to read the rest of the Matthew, we see that there is something different, it's a different message. Then Christ starts to talk about his death. Not only his death, he talks about suffering. He talks about things that maybe he was not talking earlier. So when we see this place, we recognize this. You know, he was teaching different followers who were following him, and he was giving them encouragement. In the same time, he was healing people. He raised people from the dead. And the crowds was around of him. But then was this moment, and after that, he is teaching, maybe not followers. In this passage in Mark, yes, also multitudes. But when we see later, he's teaching followers about suffering, about death, about the costs of what it means to be a disciple. So I just would like to share with you this, because we are here because we follow Christ. We are those people who were on one moment in our life touched by his presence, touched by his word. And we decide to follow him, to follow Christ. But then, as we see these people who are following him, we see that not all of those multitudes became disciples. Only some of them became disciples. There is a difference between being a follower of Christ and be a conscious disciple. So today is the same situation. It's difference between being just follower of Christ and be a disciple, conscious disciple. So for those of us who knows, I want to be disciple, or I am disciple, I want really to follow Christ whenever he leads and however it looks like. He is giving us a message not only of a glory, not only message about, you know, something that is joyful, but he is teaching us and giving us a message also about suffering, about following him. So who is the Christian? This is the question. Who is the Christian? Because he said many times, you know, to people who were gathering around him, if you want to follow me, you must take your cross. So, question, who is the Christian? And we know, this is the man to whom Christ is Lord. Christ is Kyrios, is this Lord of Lords, not just somebody, but he is the final king. So if he is our final king, if he is your Lord, then is the second question that we should ask ourselves. And is, how am I supposed to live then if he is my Lord? If he is leading me, how I should live if he is my Lord? how my life should look like. How to follow him? This is the question. So, if he is my Lord and I am a disciple, how my life should look like? So let's look to this passage that we were reading, to the verse 34. And we have answers there in this passage on this, those questions. So we see this situation. So you can imagine this. There is a Peter and the disciples, and Jesus is asking them questions like, who do you think I am? And Peter is receiving this revelation. Then we read that Jesus also predict his death and resurrection. And then at the end of these sentences, he is talking about, he said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with a power." So this is the end of the situation. You know, in each of Gospels, Luke and Matthew and Mark is the same story and the same statements. So at the end of this statement, he says, there are people here who will see the kingdom of God in its power. So first was revelation about that he is Messiah. Then Peter had some ideas, but we will not talk about this now. And he says that he's prophesying about his death and resurrection. So he's predicting his death. At the end, he says about some kind of glory, some kind of manifestation of the kingdom of God that will be revealed, and some of them will see this. But between these two points, there are the statements that he says in Mark 34. And we read there, he had called the people to him with his disciples also. He said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Okay, so there are three things that he is sharing. Three important things. He is sharing about three things that we could say are probably the most important thing if we want still to think about us, about myself. If I want to think about myself like I am disciple of Christ, these are the three things who are given to us like a direction. If you are disciple of Christ, then you must do these three things. Without these three things, you are not disciple of Christ. So, first of these three things is to deny myself. First, to deny myself. What does it mean to deny myself? Or to renounce myself? Or what does it mean to lose my soul? What does it mean to lose my life? Second, what he said is take a cross on myself. What is taking up the cross? And the third is following me. So denying myself, taking the cross, and following Christ. I believe these three things are accompanied by three words: repentance, revelation, and reunion. Repentance, revelation, and reunion. And I believe that without these three, my Christian life will be not a Christian life. It actually does not exist. So denying myself, it requests my humility, it requests a readiness to repent, to accept God's will, which turns out to be different from my will very often, to be humble. It can be throwing off the burden of a people's expectations on me, out of me. Self-denial is acting, this is acting against yourself. And the question, you know, if we are here as a followers of Christ or disciples, we know what it means, because each of us went through this place of humbling ourselves, denying our will, and receiving His will to our life. But the question is how to live in this, not just be one time in this situation, but how we can live in this in a permanent way. And there actually is only one way to be in this, and this is revelation. Because without revelation, it will be just my trying to, it will be my trials to do something. There is only one way, and the way is the cross, the revelation of the cross. The revelation of God's will. This amazing picture of God's will is depicted in the cross of the Calvary. True Christian life consists in abiding in a revelation of the cross, revelation of God's will. And it is possible only when we remain fixed on Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, actually. So we must see God's love revealed in the cross of Christ. Because this is the picture that is bringing us a new way of thinking, new way of understanding who is God, how He's doing things in our life. When we see cross, when we see Christ crucified, we see that this is the kingdom that is working in a different way. It's kingdom of upside down. It doesn't work according to our, thinking and our way of life. So when we are in this place, then this attitude makes us follow Jesus. We follow Him. This keeps us going despite and not giving up despite of different things, and not giving up when we see Christ, when we're following Christ, when we see Him as an example. And I think for us a great example of this from the We can see this in many places, but one of those places that is really encouraging us to be on this track is what we are reading in Hebrews 12:1-3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensures us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the triune of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, let you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We see Jesus who saw something that was ahead of him, and because of this, he was standing on this way. He was doing the God's will. He saw something that was ahead of him. And you know, when we see this passage that we are talking about, we see the same way. This is the same history, I would say. Because we see Jesus who opened something before the eyes of disciples while he took them on the mountain, and we see this in the verse first of chapter 9. He said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." Many scholars says that he was talking about transfiguration. That is right after that. If we would read further this passage, we see Christ who is transfigured on the mountain. And the disciples were witnessing this. So they saw the power and the glory of the future age of the kingdom of God. Right after they had this revelation that he is Messiah, then they have heard this message of denying themselves, taking cross on themselves, and following Christ, following his footsteps. But then, after that, he took them on the mountain of transfiguration and just opened before their eyes the power of the kingdom, of the future. And what it meant for them, they saw him in the glory, but of course, after a while, I don't know how long it took for them, but after a while, I believe all of them get this idea. He has shown us something that we will partake in. So they saw the future glory that was revealed in Christ, but they knew we are aiming to this glory. We are going to this glory. We are following his footsteps, and finally we will be present. We will be attracted by this glory. So, you know, probably many of us here are parents, and we have our children. And you know how it is with children. You know, when you want to teach children some things, and some of these expectations are easy for them, but some of them are not easy. And sometimes to really encourage them for a change of their attitudes, you must give them a vision. If you will do in this way, we will have something. If not, it will be something different. And we see that, you know, when they grasp this idea, okay, when I will do this, it will be ice cream or whatever. We know that they are eager to cooperate with us. Why? Because they saw the vision of something that is ahead of them. And the same here. You know, he gave them, I mean, you know, in the beginning he was just gathering people when When we see Christ in the first chapters of Gospels, he's gathering people and just going, going, going. And so the bar is very low. Many people can follow him. And it was like this. But then he's rising up the bar. Rising up, up, up. And finally, Matthew 16:16, when revelation comes that he is the Son of the living God. And on this revelation, God will build a church. Then he starts to talk a different language. And he's telling about suffering, about pain, about death, about things that are generally not easy for us. But to encourage them, at the end of this, he is just showing them the power of the future kingdom. And they understand it will be ours. We'll be part of this. We will be part of this. We want to follow him. You know, if I would ask, so what, because like we said, one thing is just to decide one day, I want to follow Christ, and I pray. It was some years ago. I prayed the, you know, prayer of salvation and gave my life to Christ. But the longer we are with him, the more we understand that salvation is something more. Salvation is about submit my will to the will of God. Salvation is about being healed in my soul. Salvation is about changing of my thoughts. This is salvation. All these things is salvation. And he brought us to this, you know, amazing journey with him, and it's not easy. You know, I remember myself at the beginning, like somebody said, like Christianity is an easy religion, and I felt like, yeah, it looks like Jesus Christ died for my sins and everything is finished. Yeah, I like it. Okay. But now, some 30 years later, I see like, and I honestly say like, no, this is not the way. It's not easy. It's not easy. But there is something inside of us, Holy Spirit who is living in us, who is stirring us up and pointing our eyes on Christ, like we read in Hebrew. Look on him. Look on him. Just see him, how he was doing, and do the same. Just follow him. And also, I believe this passage from Mark 9, when we see the future glory, it helps us to be on the track, right? It helps us. Helps us not to resign and just ride up, to lift up white flag. Sorry, no more. No. He was example for us. Holy Spirit is in us. And we see a glimpse. We see a glimpse of the future glory that we are called to be part of. Amen. Amen. So at the end, we have questions. Yeah, the questions were. Okay.
Yeah, they are.
What? Yeah, so. There is many questions that we can ask ourselves, but it's good to have at least one with whom we can work. What does it mean to lose my life? But practical questions. I would like to give you 3 points. In what area of my life do I need to disown myself? In what area of my life? Second, in what attitude in my life today God wants me to follow Christ? What attitude or what area is there? Maybe there is in my relationship with my wife, how I talk to her or whatever. In what attitude? Or what does that mean practically to me? What should I do today? What should I do today to be sure that I am denying myself, taking cross, and following him? Following him. When we deny ourselves and repent, when we take a cross and agree with the will of God and do the will of God, and when we are following him, you know, we following him, we are reconnected to God. We are with God together, close to him, you know, and this is something that is like fuel for in our life. Amen. Let me pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you that you are the one who has started and you will finish this race in our life. Thank you for Christ, who is example for us. Thank you for the glimpse of the future that Holy Spirit is revealing in our hearts when we see the glory of the kingdom of God. Thank you that you are leading us, and these things are possible because of you. We pray, help us in this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. I would like just short ask Ivonka if you could come short. We have 2-3 minutes. Yes. And just if we can just go through this, I will just go through some of our pictures here. These are our sons. You can go further. They look like this today more. It was different picture earlier. So they are mature men. And we are part of International Messengers, is an organization that works in America. And they are sending people to different places and preaching the gospel. This is way of life ministry. This is our ministry. So basically, we are using the platform of education. So we have started King David School in Poland and in Uganda. One school in Poland, 4 schools in Uganda. And as a result, we are bringing people to Christ, you know, building missional community. And so here are our different activities. We have discipleship groups. Relatively, we are a small church. You know, we have 25 members of our church. So, but we are doing different ministry. And so schools, churches, we have now, we are in 3 places in Poland, Charków, Poznań, and Śmigiel. And we have institute where we teach people. So last year, for example, because of support of many friends like you, we had possibility to sponsor our camp for 30 Ukrainians who just came to Poland, and we had them during this time. As a result of this, today we are starting discipleship groups with Ukrainians. So finally, we are praying and we believe that God wants to plant the church with Ukrainians or adding them to our church. So this group are all Ukrainians who joined us.
And us,
yes, sure. Yeah, so, but a part of this, we are also in Uganda. And in Uganda, we have established 4 schools. So these are some pictures from this. We had trainings for pastors, for teachers. These are 4 our schools in different places in Uganda. We start from children, like kindergarten, and we are running till the age where, I don't know, young people or adults. Yeah. So this is what we are doing there with them. This is something. Yeah, this is last point I would like just to mention. You know, we just lately received some invitation to go to Egypt, because there are people there, Christians, who would like to start a school in Egypt.
Christian school.
So the director of our mission connect with us, and he said that he would like we to go there and help them to do this. I don't know, you know, how this is possible, but anyhow, we are here if you would like to listen more about what we are doing and how we are ministering to people and serving God. You're very welcome to join us at the table. We also have some, Ivonka.
Okay. Does it work? Yes. So one of my passions and also gifts that God gave me, I love to paint. So I have painted some pictures. And these are cards that you can, for any donation, get at the table. They look like this. Well, you will not see the details, but welcome to the table. We can talk about it and talk about ministry. But I just would like to say one sentence, maybe two, that we are feeling here like at the family, at home. Thank you for your heart for staying. Okay, I know. It's finished?
It's finished.
Okay. Thank you for staying with us. Thank you for being our partners. You know, I know that we are saying about donations and things like that, but the most important thing for us as we are coming here is having you as a partners, that you share with us this journey, that you share with us a responsibility somehow for giving gospel to the kids, to adults, to these Ukrainians who flew from their country, to us, and thank you for being with us. Thank you for taking part of it. Thank you for allowing us, actually, by your support, to do this, because as we said, our church is not so big, and we are kind of people that are pioneers, you know. Me and Jarek, we are pioneers. So we started the schools, we started the church, we started the institute, and we are looking for people who will fill all these places because just two people cannot do all of that, you know. So we are looking, but then we go forward. We see something more.
Yeah. Thank you, friends.
Very good, thank you. Well, several announcements. One is just to remind you again about the packing party, which begins a week from tomorrow. Am I correct, Kathy? And if you would sign up, it helps you, doesn't it, Kathy, if people can kind of schedule the time they're going to be here. So just so you know, again, I just want for there to be clarity. The materials to put in the boxes, we already have. We just need people who will be willing to take their time to kind of build these boxes. And it's really quite fun to imagine as you put together a particular box and this little stuffed animal and this particular toy, maybe there's a boy, maybe there's a girl that God would sovereignly send this particular box to. It's quite fun. So I just invite you to sign up back there in the back with Kathy on that. A couple other announcements to highlight. Kathy Spurlock is coordinating and spearheading a ladies' quiet time study. So for women, if having a consistent time daily with the Lord where you sit at his feet and meet with him and hear his voice, if that's been a struggle for you, which I guess in a way it's a struggle for all of us, if you've had a difficult time getting consistency in that and want some help and encouragement, check the website announcements and there's information about how to connect with that and get involved there. And then last announcement concerns the upcoming Faith Walkers conference. And today is the deadline to sign up so you can save a few bucks on the registration. It's not the final deadline, but if it's the early bird kind of thing. I am serving this year as the housing coordinator. So talk to me about housing because you have several different options there. But if you want to save a few bucks on the registration, sign up, I guess it would be by midnight tonight. So just back on, before I let Edna come up and pray, sorry, one more thing, back on the idea of the partnership that we all have in taking the gospel to the whole world. I just want to share this scripture from the book of 3 John. He says, "Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren And especially when they are strangers, you might feel like, well, I don't really know Yarik and Avona that well. Yeah, I heard him talk this morning, but sometimes God brings people into our midst and you might not know them that well, but nonetheless, we want to act faithfully. And they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. What does that mean for you, to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God? That's between you and the Holy Spirit, whether you should be involved financially or not, or if so, to what degree. That's your personal thing. For they went out for the sake of the name. Why are Yarik and Avona doing these things, to kind of puff up their own brand? No, it's for the sake of the name of Jesus, for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. We are fellow workers, all of us. Whether you ever cross a border or not, we're all fellow workers with the truth. So with that, I'm going to let Edna pray, and then I'll have a benediction.
Thank you. Please join me in prayer. Lord, thank you for this reminder that your kingdom is worldwide already, Lord, and that it's not just here in Pataskala, but it's all over the world. And I pray that you would lead and guide us as to our participation in partnering with these ministries, and just that you would also help us and reveal to us what is it that we need to do to keep following you, and what is the vision that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand for our benediction. As you know, I have quite a large extended family. And the ones who are in town here, the way we handle birthdays is everyone who has a birthday in this certain month, we just have a big birthday party for all of you. So I'm an October birthday, as is Graham and one of my granddaughters, and actually Yarik has a birthday on Thursday. So yesterday we met at my daughter, Helen Short, and her husband Tim at their house. And when I walked in for our celebration, it was around 5 in the afternoon, and I heard this beautiful piano music. And I see my son and daughter-in-law that came this morning, Isaac and Bree. And right away, I thought it was my son-in-law, Tim. God has blessed us with wonderful kids-in-law. And I heard this beautiful piano music playing, and lo and behold, it was Bree playing. And so I walked up, and we were conversing about this hymn that she was playing, with which I was not familiar. I don't even remember the name of it, but one of the lines of the hymn just really struck me, and it's this: in the garden of our Savior, no flower grows unseen. Isn't that beautiful? In the garden of our Savior, no flower grows unseen. I remember a hike we took in the Alps years ago, and we were in this remote place, and Joan and I just observed, look at these gorgeous flowers that no human eye apart from ours ever would have seen. But God sees these flowers, and they're important to him, and they reflect his glory. So you might feel like, well, you know, sorry to put it in these terms, but Yarik and Avona are kind of like these Christian rock stars. You know, they're just kind of doing all this for God, and what am I? I'm just kind of here. God sees you. Whatever your station in life is, wherever you are, you're a flower growing in the Savior's garden, which he sees. And I just want you to appreciate that this morning as I bless you with this. In Jesus' name, the Lord bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. In Jesus' name, the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. You're dismissed.